Our reading for this evening is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, the temptation of Jesus.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. And this is how our sermon starts.
So we are all tempted to go our own way in life, to ignore God's guidance and direction, and to hide from him and to hide from our sin and brokenness when we fail. But God's gracious offer is forgiveness, guidance, and a pathway to life. This week we explore how to overcome the potential for darkness within us. The three sins which have always afflicted human beings: greed for wealth, lust for power, and unlimited satisfaction of our own appetites, also afflicted Christ. In his overcoming, we find inspiration. We learn more about who Jesus is and the kind of Messiah he chose to be. We also allow Jesus' victory over temptation to strengthen us to face our own temptations. It's important to realize that these were genuine temptations for Jesus. Jesus could have easily chosen to be a self-serving, power-hungry leader, just like the ones in his world and our world today. But he chose a different way, and he held fast to faith.
And so what is the reality of temptation? What does temptation look like? What does it sound like? In fact, what does Satan look like? Who is he? Who is she? How does he sound like? Anything that make you and me doubt God, that is a temptation. Anything that make you and me doubt our sense of acceptance, to doubt that I am a daughter of God, you are a son of God, that is a temptation. Any invitation to rebel, any invitation to self-righteousness, that is evil, that is Satan, that is a temptation. Genesis 3 records how the first people were tempted to mistrust God, how they were made to disbelieve what God had said to them. The serpent called into question, in the conversation with the first people, the trustworthiness of God. And this is what the serpent said to both of them: "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden? Did God really say that? Are you sure? Did you hear him right? Did he say, don't touch that? Did he say, don't speak like that? Did God really say, don't go there?" It questioned the trustworthiness of God. It planted a doubt, a seed of doubt in their minds. It made them for sure to start thinking, can we really trust God? Is he the person we can listen to? Can we really follow the guidance of God? It made them to want to establish their own identity. From what we read in the Bible, God visited both of them every evening. He came check on them regularly. But then the devil, the tempter, says to them, "You don't need God. Can you really trust him? Do you really have to listen to everything that God says to you? The tempter wants them to establish their own identity, self-reliance, not to depend on God. Same with Jesus. In fact, before we come to Jesus, the tempter also said to the women in the garden, no, did God say you will die? No, if you eat from this fruit, you will not die. In other words, they have to see God as a liar. You will not die. Eat it. That is how a tempter sounds like. That's how temptation sounds like. That's how devil sounds like. There is always a seed of doubt planted in our minds and in our hearts. And in the story of Jesus in the wilderness, the tempter says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, my mom's name is Thembile. Imagine someone coming to me saying, Londi, if you really are Thembile's daughter. And the tempter says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, do you really know that you are a Son of God? In other words, the tempter is saying to Jesus, how do you know that you are a Son of God? And this question comes after just days after the baptism of Jesus. Jesus having heard the voice from heaven, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit sends Jesus to the wilderness and there is another question. Are you really sure that you are the Son of God? Because that is what the voice of the tempter sounds like. It plants a seed of doubt in our minds. In fact, the core of the temptation here is, wouldn't it be better for you to know for certain that you are a son of God? Don't you want to prove it? Come on, show the world. Prove it to yourself that you are a son of God. And he says to Jesus, turn these stones, make them bread. Jump from this table. Your father, if you are the son of God, he will send angels. They will protect you. Worship me. I will give you everything. Actually, what the tempter is saying to Jesus, do this and you will be sufficient on your own. And that is what the voice of the tempter sounds like. Do this, you won't need God. Do this, you won't need your friend. Do this, you won't need Trinity. Do this, you won't need your parents. You will be sufficient on your own. Today's theme is hold fast to faith. And it's like I want to give the reason, because men and women cannot live on bread alone, but from listening to the words that come from the mouth of God. Hold fast to faith, because bread alone is not what we will live by, but also by listening to the words that come from the mouth of the Lord. And so how do we deal with temptations? How do you deal with temptations? Because we are tempted every day. How did Jesus deal with that temptation? The record of Jesus struggling with evil in the wilderness. It is an invitation. It is a challenge. It is an encouragement for us to learn from Jesus and know how to deal with temptations. It is a gift for us to know that Jesus struggled with the tempter, that they wrestled, that there was a battle. That Jesus did not just go away and won the battle, but that Jesus had to quote scripture and say, the scripture says that was a battle, Jesus finding ways of holding fast to faith. For Jesus to say, men will not or shall not and ought not live on bread alone, that was Jesus fighting evil, fighting a temptation. How do we deal with temptations? Jesus is here for 40 days, just like the people of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, just like they were tempted. The difference is that where the people of Israel failed, where Adam and Eve failed, Jesus succeeded. He held fast to what he knew best. He held fast to God. What Jesus was made to do here was to satisfy his appetite. It was to gain power by a miraculous act of throwing himself off the temple. He had to perform a miracle. Throw yourself and God will send angels. He was tempted to gain wealth by worshiping the devil. And there are some people in our world who can do whatever whatever it takes to gain wealth, even worshiping devil. And Jesus said no to that. Jesus refused to establish his own identity. And that's one of the good lessons that Lent has, that worshipers, those who worship God in spirit and truth, they hold on to the identity given to them by God, that you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of God. But temptation makes us to want to identify with different things, to create new identities. And Jesus says, human beings cannot live on bread alone. What does bread in this passage represent? Bread in this passage represents someone submissive to material necessities. When Jesus speaks about bread, when Satan invites Jesus to change stones, make them bread, Satan is saying, come on, Jesus, come on, Son of God, stop this nonsense of telling us about the kingdom of God. Here is an opportunity to be rich. Here is an opportunity to be famous. Make a miracle. People will come and worship you. But Jesus was not going to do that because he knew who he was, because he knew whose he was. When I know who I am, when I know who I belong to, even opportunities of getting more than what God has blessed with me, I do not accept. Believers, we don't live by bread alone, but also by the words that come from the mouth of the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Whenever we are having, let me say, breakfast, round table with our friends or our families, whenever you eat bread, whenever you eat whatever you're eating, do you only think about the bread you are eating, or you also think about the giver of the bread? When Jesus says, men shall not live on bread alone, Jesus is saying, no, come on. Don't only focus or fix your eyes on the blessing, but fix your eyes on the blesser. Take your eyes away from what you have and fix your eyes to the one who gives you everything. And Lent is that time where we deny ourselves, we take the cross, we follow the one who calls us, we follow the one who gives us bread and not bread itself. And so whenever we enjoy bread, are we not reminded of where it comes from, of where the bread comes from? So Jesus' dealings with temptation invite us to find both hope and encouragement. Find hope and courage in God. Find hope in scripture. Find hope in your prayers, in worship services, because that is where we are able to move forward, by always looking back, quoting, recalling the words that come from the word, from the mouth of the Lord. And that is what we call holding fast to faith. And so let me talk about what it means to hold fast to faith. I'm going to read Psalm 32, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. What is clear from these two verses is that we need a hiding place for the soul. And Jesus had a hiding place for the soul. When he faced temptation, he had God as the hiding place for his soul. So we need to have a hiding place. I need to have someone I will always run to when I am tempted. I need a place to hide when temptations come. And that person should be God. See how the whole story of the temptation of Jesus ends. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended Jesus. And then the devil left Jesus. The angels came and attended. Other translation, they say the angels came and worshipped Jesus. In other words, Satan withdrew willingly. He willingly pulled back from the battle he had with Jesus Christ. I think it is because of one thing. because Jesus had a hiding place, because God was always in the mind, in the heart of Jesus Christ. And I want to end by saying, you and I have a choice. The temptation of Jesus offers us two things. We have got two options here. The first one is self-denial. Self-denial is a lost but saved life. When I deny myself, it feels like I am lost. I am losing everything of myself and about myself. And yet actually self-denial, taking up the cross, following Jesus, it is a lost and yet a saved life. That's option number one, self-denial. Option number two, it is gaining the whole world but lose your life. Jesus had that option too. When Shannon was here, she said, Jesus, these temptations were genuine. He had two options. It's either he holds fast to faith or he loses his life. And Jesus chose to hold fast to faith because he knew men and women will not live on bread alone, but also by listening to the words that come from the mouth of God. And so we have two options. Self-denial, take the cross, follow God. Wherever the journey leads you, follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Or gain the whole world. Say yes to everything. Say yes to Satan when he says, change these stones, make them bread. But in the process, we lose everything. And so this whole passage, Jesus teaches about the terrors which will befall him in the future. And Jesus invites us to knowingly face the path alongside him. This season of Lent, it is a season of expectation. It is a season of preparation. And for Jesus, it was preparation for what was coming in future. And this story invites us to walk knowingly, face the path alongside Jesus, hold fast to faith. So when it comes to making choices, it's easy to say, I choose this because I've tasted it before. I know what it does to my body. I know it's healthy or unhealthy, but I know how much it lasts in my body. It's easy to say yes to making miracles. It's not always easy to say yes to something you don't know more about. We don't always know what future holds for us. We don't always know what is in the box. We don't always know where God is going to take us, where God is going to lead us. And yet every year we say, I am no longer my own, I belong to you. Put me to working, put me to doing, let me have everything, let me have nothing. We say that being uncertain of what future holds for us. But this is what I want to say about choosing God instead of choosing what you already have, what you already know. Choosing God, you don't know where that is going to take you. But at least choosing God, it's choosing one who knows the future. Yes, self-denial is not easy. Yes, choosing God every day is not easy because you don't know where that is going to take you. But at least you choose the one who knows your future. So holding fast to faith may not yield instant results like saying yes to changing stones and making them bread. But holding fast to faith, it goes a long way. It does not yield instant results, but it goes a long way. It unlocks the closed doors. I am not sure whether you guys have had supper or not, but I'm going to ask all of us to do this. This is just white bread. I'm going to ask all of us, just take a piece, pass, take a piece and do it. Eat it now. And as we eat it, I want us to ask ourselves this question. Now that I have eaten this bread, do I no longer need God? Now that I have served my body physically, I have eaten something, do I no longer need God? And that, whatever the answer is going to make you know and make right decisions. Is it what you know already? Or you feel, what I know is not sufficient, I still need God. Prayerfully ask yourself, is this all I need? Or I need more than bread? Am I always satisfied with material necessities? Or I still need God after this? As you slowly chew this, do that prayerfully and say to God, I still need you. Bread is not enough. I will not live on bread alone, but I also need the words that come from the mouth of God.